So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings, and I want to welcome you back to another 30 minutes for the show. I'm going to ask you a question here. It's a rhetorical question, but how far is too far? When will you finally stand up and fight back? And I ask this because we, as a country, for the longest time, have watched ourselves be pushed around and bullied by other countries around the world, other people around the world. We have seen our brave fighting men and women killed. We have had civilians killed by jihadi terrorists. And if you listen to this show, you're of the same mindset, I'm fairly certain, as me on this. Take them out. Well, folks, it's finally started. Now, I found an article here. It says, the forces fighting the remnants of the Islamic State group in Syria have tacit instructions on dealing with the foreigners who joined the extremist group by the thousands. Kill them on the battlefield. Now, folks, that is music to my ears. I have been waiting to hear that for the longest time. That's the only way to eliminate these people. Well, yes, to stop them is to eliminate them. That's the only way you're going to stop it. If you keep shooing ants away, they will keep returning until you spray them with something and kill them. And now other countries are finally starting to understand that the turn-the-other-cheek mentality doesn't work with these people. They are starting to finally understand that if you bring them back home and put them in prison when they get out, they will do the exact thing again, the exact same thing. They will continue to repeat their actions over and over and over again. The only way to stop them is to eliminate them. Now, this article goes on to say that as they made their last stand in the northern Syrian city of Raqqa, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, an estimated 300 extremists holed up in and around a sports stadium and a hospital argued among themselves about whether to surrender. And this was according to some Kurdish commanders who were leading the forces that closed in on them. And in the final days, folks, it took its toll on them. There were 75 coalition airstrikes in 48 hours. And of course, ISIS tried desperately to put out a bunch of car bombs, but they were easily spotted. Among all the devastation, you know, everything's devastated and there's a shiny new car there. Obviously, that's a target. And they were taken out. Now, no government has publicly expressed concern about the fate of its citizens who left and joined the Islamic State fighters who were plotting attacks at home and abroad. However, in France, which has suffered repeated violence that was claimed by the Islamic State, which included the November 13, 2015 attacks in Paris, Defense Minister Florence Parly was among the few to say it aloud. This is what he said. If the jihadists perish in this fight, I would say that it's for the best, Parly told Europe 1 Radio last week. And That's coming from the French, folks. Remember the French, the ones who didn't want to join in and do anything? Now they say they're starting to have the same attitude as well. Hey, when the French get violent, you know there's a problem. And those were the orders according to the U.S. Our mission is to make sure that any foreign fighter who is here, who joined ISIS from a foreign country and came into Syria, will die here in Syria, said Brett McGurk, who is the top U.S. envoy for the Anti-Islamic State Coalition, in an interview with Dubai-based Al On Television. He went on to say, so if they're in Raqqa, they're going to die in Raqqa. Now, the coalition has given names and photos to the Kurdish fighters to identify the foreign jihadis, because they're still seen as a threat back home. And, of course, it's a burden to the justice systems, as I said earlier. Now, an official who was with the powerful YPG, I don't see here what that stands for, but apparently it's a backbone of something called the Syrian Democratic Forces. And they also run the local security and intelligence branches, said foreigners who decided to fight until the end will be eliminated. For the few prisoners, the Kurds try to reach out to the same their home countries, and we will try to hand them in. But many would not want to take their own detainees back. Both men spoke on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to discuss the sensitive issue with reporters. I guess they'd be in fear of losing their own heads as well if they did that. Now, no country is actually admitting to refuse to take back citizens who joined ISIS, including the women and their children, but few are actually taking the effort to recover them. They're just kind of leaving them alone. Now, in Iraq, there were hundreds of Islamic State fighters that have surrendered or have been taken into custody. Their families have been rounded up and are now sitting in detention camps. The men have been put on trial, and they face a death penalty if convicted of the terrorism charges, even if they are foreigners. One Russian fighter has already been hanged. See, this is a good start here, folks. Now, France routinely intervenes when citizens abroad face capital punishment, and they have said nothing about its jihadis in Iraq. More French joined the group, also known by its Arab acronym Daesh, than any other European country. Again, if France is calling for this, you know it's got to be bad. Now, these camps for displaced civilians from Raqqa contain only foreign women and children. Now, as for the fate of any other French citizens there, France's foreign ministry had a short response. Our priority today is to achieve a complete victory over Daesh. And German diplomats say all of the country's citizens are entitled to consular assistance. So that's a backwards one. I would have expected the Germans to have been right out there out front, but apparently they have kind of been weenied down over the years. Now, Britain has not said how many of its foreign citizens are still believed to be fighting, but at least one holdout posted a furious 72-minute monologue earlier this month from Raqqa as airstrikes and artillery fire landed all around him. He said that Muslims around the world should be outraged at the treatment of Islamic State's followers. Well, what about the treatment of the innocent people that they butcher? Now, one of them was quoted as saying, "This is not me being an extremist. I'm a very moderate, mild person. Alhamdulillah," which means thanks to God, "and I find the Islamic State to be very moderate and mild." And this jackass calls himself Abu Adam el-Britani, but was actually identified by the British media as Yasser Iqbal. He's an attorney that loves driving a Porsche, and he has defended Islamic State's brutal practices as ordained by God, including killing non-Muslims and dissenting Muslims. He did not mention the group's routine public beheadings, how convenient, enslavement of women or brainwashing of children to become the hardened killers that make up the Islamic State. Now, at one point, folks, between 27,000 and 31,000 people may have traveled to Syria and Iraq to join the Islamic State group. And this is according to an analysis by the Soufan group. Now, out of those, about 6,000 were from Europe, which most of them were from France, Germany, and Britain. A majority had immigrant backgrounds, and these were heavily targeted by the group's propaganda, which highlighted the injustices they faced at home. And one study found that fewer than 10% of Western fighters were actually converts to Islam. So some people who just felt lonely and just despondent, had nothing better to do, actually went over to join ISIS because they felt that they were making a difference for something. That's idiocy at its best. And as many as a third of the Europeans may have returned back home already. That's going to make them kind of hard to find, but a lot of them are currently jailed, and they are awaiting trial in courts, which are just absolutely backlogged with them, which, again, is where this is coming from. We don't want these people back here. A couple have been freed and are now under surveillance. We'll have to see how that goes. Raqqa's foreign holdouts were generally acknowledged to be mid-level ISIS recruits, so they weren't the really hardened ones. And they still pose a risk if they go back home. So this whole thing is looking really, really good. Now, I got a quote here from someone named Bruce Hoffman. He's the head of Georgetown University's Security Studies Program and author of a book called Inside Terrorism. He says, "You can see why almost the preferred resolution is they don't return. What worries me is I think it's wishful thinking and that they're all going to be killed off. So we'll just have to wait and see. Wishful thinking or not, Minister Parley said it is certainly the best outcome. And she said, we cannot do anything to prevent their return home besides neutralize the maximum number of jihadis in this combat. Well, what do you think of that, folks? To actually hear the French taking a stand like that, to me, that is very, very refreshing. You can only push people so far before they start to push back. And this is basically a take-no-quarter attitude, which I don't think the U.S. has actually ever even had before. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. If we ever had a give-no-quarter, take-no-quarter after the Revolutionary War, I certainly am not aware of it. And please school me on that if I am incorrect. But for not only us, but the pacifists of Europe, especially France, to take a hardened stance like that, the times are a-changing, my friends, and they are a-changing for the better. Of course, in all likelihood, none of this would be happening had Hillary Clinton won the presidency. I think the mere fact that Donald Trump is now the president of our United States, and the type of people who back Trump are now emboldened to come out and speak their minds, has a lot to do with this. The rest of the world is watching, and they are watching a man who will not back down, a man who is fearless, a man who will stand up to anyone and everyone who takes a stand against him or attacks him or attacks this country or attacks our way of life. This is something the rest of the world is not familiar with, at least not since the end of the Second World War. This is something they haven't seen from us in a long, long time. And it's really taking them by surprise. And I think they're, in their own backdoor way, doing this to get into the good graces of Donald Trump when he starts taking down names and kicking them out the door. Fully believe that's going to happen. Now, we see this happening in Syria, and I think you're going to start to see it happen in the not-too-distant future here in the United States as well. I have mentioned this before, and I stand by that comment and that belief. As Popeye used to say, I've had all I can stands, and I can't stands no more. And at some point, somebody is going to start to push back. They're going to start eliminating these punks who are committing all these crimes. They're going to actively pursue anyone that has any kind of a terrorist background or terrorist affiliations, and they're going to take the law into their own hands. They're going to do it themselves. If our country won't help us keep our own country safe, the citizens will keep this country safe. And folks, there are certainly enough of us to accomplish that. Now, interestingly, George just found an article entitled, "Would Impeaching Trump Set Off a Gun-Toting Citizens Uprising?" Well, I'm getting pretty close to the break. This is a lengthy article. I'm going to have a look at it during the break, and when I come back, I'll go over some of the points from it with you, because this is written by somebody from George Washington University, who is obviously a left-wing libtard, and some of his his ideas are absolutely laughable. The liberals just have absolutely no clue when it comes to people like you and me. They don't think like us, therefore they have no way to get inside of us. All they do is they come up with these stupid theories and try and predict what will happen based on absolutely nothing other than what their own propaganda machines have drilled into their heads that they think that they should preach. And it's wrong. We see this time after time in their polls. Their polls showed Clinton being ahead of Trump, and they believed it. And they were wrong. The idea, I guess, is to make everyone think that you're winning, so it's going to kind of bolster everybody and make the other side kind of crestfallen and back down. But it doesn't work. It certainly doesn't work with Trump, and it does not work with the people who support him. So, yeah, keep going, liberals, and you'll see exactly what happens when the time comes. You'll find out exactly how wrong you were, how wrong you have been, and how wrong you will continue to be. And if they do ever make the mistake of impeaching Trump, they're not going to like what happens. They really will not like what's going to fall on their shoulders. I've got to take a break here, folks. I will be back in a couple minutes. Now I want to go over that article with you and kind of read to you what this peckerhead had to say and what needs to be said back to him. Be back in a couple.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, so that article that I was talking to you about, it's just amazing at how these people think, folks. Now, the whole meat and potatoes headline was, what would we do if Donald Trump were impeached? But this whole thing is basically an anti-gun diatribe. So let me just kind of go over what this guy is saying here. He says, as he wrote in a recent column, one of the persistent and puzzling aspects of the politics of guns in this country is the insistence by gun rights advocates on invoking the Second Amendment as a magic talisman, seeking to shut down all talk of gun control by asserting that such laws would violate the Constitution. Well, they do. He says this is not true, and it never was. As Michael Dorff reminds us in his most recent column, the controlling Supreme Court opinion says that the Second Amendment only applies to firearms in common use, which means that many different types of guns could be banned outright as machine guns are now. Let me point out once again that machine guns are not banned, silencers are not banned, sawed-off shotguns are not banned, and neither are grenades if you have the proper license. So again, this comes down to these people seeing and interpreting the law the way that they want to see fit to keep it from working for you and me. Now, machine guns are in common use by the military. He goes on to say, moreover, Dorff pointed out that the Supreme Court also held that the Second Amendment protects a right of individuals to possess firearms in their homes for their personal use for self-defense. That is, even the right of the people to hold that limited category of weapons is limited to guns held in their homes to defend their homes and the people in them. That is not true. The Second Amendment is there to protect us from the government. It says nothing about hunting, and it says nothing about homes. This is the first time that I have ever heard this nonsense, but it shows just how they try and twist the law. He goes on to say that substantial numbers of constitutional scholars, including Professor Dork, believe that the Supreme Court's 5-4 decision was wrong, even on that more limited holding, and that he is among the dissenters as well. Even so, the Constitution has never been interpreted in a way that would give people the right to have firearms in their possession anywhere they want and for no reason whatsoever that they want. That's wrong. What part of shall not be infringed do these people understand? The same thing comes down when they say that we don't need high-capacity magazines or bump-fire stocks or laser sights or night vision. They say that has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. Well, it does, because these are all accessories for firearms. And the Founding Fathers, and they were fathers, they were not the founders, they were not the founding mothers, they were the founding fathers, had no idea the direction this country would go in. So they made the language as broad as they could to change with the times, which is why shall not be infringed is so important. Even more important is what they are referring to is the NFA. Or the National Firearms Act of 1934, which was actually an illegal ruling by the Supreme Court that banned the simple possession without the federal tax stamp of machine guns, sawed-off shotguns, and the like. That whole case was never challenged. After those weapons were ruled illegal, there was a guy who was busted for having a sawed-off shotgun. He failed to show up in court. He could have very easily had this whole thing thrown out. Any attorney worth their salt could have proven that those laws were unconstitutional. But because this guy never showed up in court to challenge it, the ruling remained. And that is why, to this day, the Supreme Court will not hear anything that challenges the NFA, because they know that if they listen to it, they would have to rule that the National Firearms Act of 1934 is in fact illegal and unconstitutional. It violates the Second Amendment of the Constitution. The Second Amendment of the Constitution says nothing about licensing people to own firearms. It says nothing about denying convicted felons to own firearms. Go back to the 1800s. How many Western lawmen, how many famous Western lawmen were bandits and they became lawmen? It says nothing about this. And it says nothing in there about banning certain types of guns because they're evil or they fire more than one round with each pull of the trigger. Shall not be infringed. Now, interestingly, even after everything that happened in Las Vegas, and then more recently in Maryland, but particularly after Las Vegas, Americans' opinions on gun laws have not changed at all. People who were anti-gun before are still anti-gun. People who were pro-gun before are still pro-gun, and those who had no clue still have their heads up their butts. The Americans' opinions of this have not changed. These things, they don't work anymore. This is no longer ammunition for the liberals. For a long time it was, but it's not working for them anymore. And folks, that is what's so encouraging. People are standing by their values. They're standing behind what they believe in. And this is why it was going to be so dangerous if the liberals try and impeach Donald Trump. Because the people who believe in him, who believe in the Constitution, will not stand idly by to see a president who has pledged to bring this country back be thrown up before a hangman's noose. It will not happen. Now, I say hangman's noose. I don't mean that literally. I mean that figuratively, of course. They're not going to put up with it. You and I will not put up with it. And I don't think they fully understand this. Now, let's go back to the peckerhead. He says, one of the more shocking statistics that has begun to show up in news reports about gun violence is that there are more guns in private hands in the United States than there are people. I don't think so. He says, put differently, the average person in this country owns more than one gun. Well, yes, the average person does. They own several. But there are 350 million people in this country. And the last that I heard, there was only 186 million guns. So, yeah, it doesn't really seem to jive. I don't know. He goes on to say, this means some people are heavily armed where others have exercised the right not to keep and bear arms. Well, that's fine. That's what this country is all about. If you want something, take it. If you don't, leave it alone. He says, in fact, only 19% of American adults own the other half of the guns, while the remaining 78% do not own guns at all. He says, why is this significant? First, it means that the surges in gun purchases that we see after a highly publicized shooting event must be a matter of current gun owners still buying more guns. Thinking that the government is going to be taken over by gun-hating lefties, they add to their arsenals. Well, again, here's this word arsenal. These are not arsenals. Arsenals are where arms are manufactured. Armories are where they are kept. And these liberals just don't understand that. He says, having a tiny number of people sitting on huge stockpiles of weapons is problematic in other ways, as I will discuss momentarily, but it has a significant upside. Put simply, these are people who currently do not own guns who might choose at some point to buy them to commit murder or suicide or for other illicit purposes, and serious gun control could stop them. No. See, let's back the truck up here. This is exactly what these people do not understand. Therefore, let me explain it to you. And in case any liberals are listening in to the show, something that they can understand. Most people do not really understand the Second Amendment or what it means. Thomas Jefferson himself said, "You will never understand the need for the Second Amendment until they come to take it away." That means your average American really doesn't understand why they need to own a firearm. There are certain people out there who do. I know people who own hundreds of firearms and hundreds of thousands of rounds of ammunition. Can they ever use them all? No. Some of them are collectors. They're buying them to hold and sell and make a profit. But all in all, when the hammer falls, people will begin to realize why they should have bought a gun. And by then, it will be too late. But there will always be somebody in their neighborhood, or at least close by, that will be able to dole the stuff out, and it will make the numbers jive. And that, my friends, is what the liberals just don't understand. You and I, however, do. And unfortunately, as always seems to happen when I'm getting into a really good topic, I am out of time. So I gotta jump off here. I'm not gonna be able to get into that part of the article that deals with the impeachment of Trump and what would happen with people rising up. But if you listen to the show, you know exactly what would happen. And that is what terrifies the liberals, my friends. And they are finally starting to understand the bigger picture. And I think you're gonna see a split in the Democratic Party here very, very shortly about those who want to impeach Trump and those who don't want to impeach Trump because they understand what will actually happen. So I am out of time for this week. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.